Hi, my name is Sarah, hailing from Germany, outside of Heidelberg at the moment. I'm a songwriter and a podcaster. Power Bites isn't a power trip. Think of it like a power bar to encourage you and me and challenge you and me to keep up our race together. Thanks for listening.
All right, so this last one's going to be really short about prophecy. So yesterday we learned some criteria for prophecy, and we are going to read a little bit here, but all of it comes from the Lord. I guess it cut out here, it disappeared, but all prophecy is from the Lord, either through his word or through someone who's godly and who is seeking his face. But there is something, and so while you're waiting around, waiting for prophecy, there is something that is always available, and that is wisdom. It is just as Holy Spirit based, but God promises wisdom to those who seek it. Here we are in Proverbs 3, starting at verse 13. How blessed is the man who finds wisdom, and the man who gains understanding, for a prophet is better than the prophet of silver, and her gain better than fine gold. She is more precious than jewels. Nothing you desire compares with her. Long life is in her right hand, and her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who hold fast to her. The Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding he established the heavens. By his knowledge the deeps were broken up, and the skies drip with dew. My son, let them not vanish from your sight. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. Also here in scripture we see in 1 Corinthians, I believe, Paul is talking about wisdom and God's wisdom and how it confounds the wisdom of the world. So I'm not talking about wisdom. Go get yourself some books about geography and history and get wisdom there. I am still talking about something that if you are a child of God, you have the Holy Spirit and he will reveal to you. This is available to all who seek it. Prophecies, they come whenever God wants them to come. But they are his initiative. Scripture tells us that we can take the initiative to seek wisdom. So, verse 18 of 1 Corinthians 1 says, the message of the cross is foolish to those who are headed for destruction, but we who are being saved know it is the very power of God, as the scriptures say. I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and discard the intelligence of the intelligent. So I find comfort in this because there are a lot of people that are smarter than I am. But scripture says that God's wisdom puts to shame any other kind of wisdom. So where does this leave the philosophers, the scholars, the world's brilliant debaters? God has made the wisdom of this world look foolish. No one can explain the cross. It doesn't make sense. And to the world, it is foolishness. And yet, it has the power to save. Since God in his wisdom saw to it that the world would never know him through human wisdom, there is not a book you can read other than scripture. There is not a hole you can dig. There is not a whole math book that you can have memorized that will lead you to the revelation of Jesus Christ except through scripture. Romans 1, it says that where there is a natural revelation of God, but to get to Christ, you will find it in scripture. Now, what about, you know, whoever over in the far reaches of wherever where nobody's ever been? What if they don't have scripture? God will find a way to reveal who Christ is to them. I strongly believe it. If he's going to require that you come through Jesus to him, he will figure out the way that you know about Jesus. We can leave that into his hands. Since God is in his wisdom, saw to it that the world would never know him through Okay, I read that. He has used our foolish preaching to save those who believe. And he even uses us to preach. So this, it is foolish to the Jews who ask for signs from heaven, and it is foolish to the Greeks who seek human wisdom. There, I don't know if you've ever met someone that is absolutely tied down to the way that they do things, that you can't even like hit them with a bat to jolt them out of a system that they've enwrapped themselves in. And I find the worst in that is that it satisfies their knowledge of God. Does that make any sense? I lived here for a very long time. I was satisfied if I had my schedule in order. I was satisfied if I had my world in order. I grew up in a very stark, there was no chaos in my house. It was always clean. I was telling my boys today because somehow I got hit with one of those little basketballs, the indoor basketballs, while I was trying to serve them their pasta, and it landed in the oven, and I lost it. I was like, stop it, you know? But I had to apologize, and I was like, I told my kids, you know, I grew up in a place where there was not a lot of chaos, and I just am not used to it. It unnerves me. And so, for me, it was very hard to get to a place where I could still have peace, even if my world was in utter chaos. Because we have a tendency just to build up our small little worlds and think that we have wisdom. Build up our small little framework where we've decided they're out, they're in, they're not even thought of. We stay in that frame, we're satisfied, and we call it wisdom. We do the same thing every day, and we call it wisdom. It's not wisdom. You just came up with your own design, and you're living it. God, and by God's grace, he confounded my wisdom. He entered in, and poof, it all imploded. It wasn't God's wisdom. And he pushed and he was not tame about it. This was a revelation to me that God was not interested in what I could build up for myself on this earth. I mean, surprising, I know. He was not interested in how I went about life. He was interested in me getting on board with what he was doing. God, it does not come by your house every day to sign your blueprint. When you meet with him in devotions, he's not there so that you can give him your list of today's attributes so that he can sign them. That's not what he's there for. He's there to jolt you out of this world's wisdom. Get you on board with what he's doing. That is, my friend, outside your mind. It is outside what you can comprehend. So the Jews are looking for signs. He's not there. And the Gentiles are stuck in their man's wisdom. He's not there either. And he will look for a way to confound it. It is foolish to the Jews who ask for signs from heaven, and it is foolish to the Greeks who seek human wisdom. So when we preach that Christ was crucified, the Jews are offended, and the Gentiles say it's all nonsense. God's wisdom is supernatural, and it will confront whatever you're all about. If you're there here, if you're here for signs at church, it will confront it. If you're here just to collect some more knowledge and store it away up in your head, it will confront it. But to those called by God to salvation, both Jews and Gentiles, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. This foolish plan of God is wiser than the wisest of human plans. And God's weakness is stronger than the greatest of human strength. Lord, I pray that we take the opportunity to seek wisdom through your Holy Spirit, that we would allow you to jolt us out of our man-made habitats, our structures. Our structures are meant to be torn down, and our ways are meant to be confronted by the light of your word. And I pray that we would allow it, we would allow the fire of your word to just burn up that which is useless in our lives. Thank you, God, that wisdom is always available. And help us to seek it with all of our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay, thanks for listening. Join me for the next part of this series, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, usually, you know. I'll let you know. Find Underground Crowds on Twitter or undergroundcrowds.com.